Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you all. Don't stand just yet, but 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you will, please. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want to kind of set us up a little bit, and then I have some background I want to get through. But first off, if you're visiting with us, a special welcome to you all. It's good to see Ben and Michael back. They were here this morning, so good to see you all back. They said that they enjoyed lunch, so I'm sure that's what brought them back. But I appreciate them being with us as well. So as I was thinking about what to preach, I have no shortage of outlines and thoughts and different things. I have to be very careful that I'm preaching what the Lord wants me to preach and not what I think I should preach. And so as I was contemplating it and thinking about it, our pastor being out this last week, he does this every year. And he sets aside time to pray about the Lord's vision, the Lord's goals for our church. And when he comes back, we're going to have a theme, and we're going to have banners put up, and we're going to have all those things. But the purpose of that is to get us moving in the same direction. The purpose of that is to ensure that, yes, our church has biblical goals that we should do. We should be witnessing to the lost. We should be joining together for services. We should be giving, all those things that we already know. But in addition to those things, the Lord has laid on our pastor's heart something that he believes we should be doing, something that we should be working on. As I was thinking about that, I couldn't help but think about this, the one that we're still in. You know, everybody's so excited about the new. Everybody's excited about the new banners, and everyone's excited about the new messages and all of those things. And if you're not, you should be. But our current theme, the banners are still up. And as I was thinking about it, the church, which is his body and members in particular, you know, that's signs in the back and on the side here. And I know we have these two over here, but, it's the church is an important thing. And as I was thinking about that, the thought that kept coming back to me, and this is where we're going to be tonight, is have you taken time to consider what we do here? Have you taken time to consider what we do here? We're not very good at considering things. We live busy lives. We have things to do. And many of our decisions that we make every day take a second, a fraction of a second sometimes. And we're so used to this culture where we make decisions quickly. People want an answer now. They want things done now. There's limited amounts of waiting. There's limited amounts of considering. There's limited amounts of meditating in our culture. Are you with me so far? And I worry that bleeds over into the church. That sometimes we're here because of a decision that we made, which is a good decision, but we never take time to consider. We never take time to think about, why am I here? And all of us can say, it's not because we don't have anything else to do. Can we be honest about it? There's other things we could be doing right now. There's other places we could be. There's other things to do. But you all have chosen to be here tonight. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But I want to make sure that we are considering. And this is a thought that I've been dealing with in my own heart as well. So have you taken time to consider? And I want to start off by making a couple statements, and then we'll read our verse here. What we do here is important. What we do here has gravity. We don't, like I said, we don't just open the doors because we have nothing else to do. We've chosen to be here tonight. We've chosen to set aside time out of our day and out of our week when we gather here multiple times a week. When we have revival, we gather here and we commit to being here every night. And that's a big deal. It's a big deal. But it becomes a much greater deal when I consider. When I'm not just here, but I consider why I'm here. And I consider, what am I going to do before I leave tonight? I'll be honest with you, I'm not very good about that last question. I'm not very good at thinking, if you're here tonight and you have a need of whatever that is. You need the Lord to work in a certain situation. You need his guidance in a certain circumstance. Or you don't know how to deal with a complicated boss or a difficult coworker or whatever situation you're in tonight. Don't you think that if you take time to consider, and you take time to pray, and you take time to maybe do some work on your own before you get here, Maybe, just maybe, the Lord will give you what you need tonight. You know, Brother Josh made a statement this morning. It's not about the preacher. You're not here to listen to me. Okay? And as much as I love my pastor, I'm not just here to listen to him either. I'm here because we have a pastor who has decided that he is going to diligently prepare and study and give us what God has given to him. That's a great privilege. It's a great thing to be here. But listen, the word I'm going to say over and over tonight is consider. Have you taken time to consider what we do here? If you would please stand. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now that we've gotten the introduction out of the way, we're going to get right to work. We're just going to start here, and then we'll be jumping around just a little bit. So bear with me. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, if you would please. A verse that I'm sure all of us have read and heard many, many times. Here's what it says. 1 Timothy 3, let's start verse 14. Verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into it tonight. The title, as I've already stated a couple times, is Have You Taken Time to Consider Why You Are Here? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Brother Warren, would you do that, please, sir? Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Before I forget to say it, sure appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight. I always miss Pastor when he's gone, but I appreciate the opportunity to preach. I know that you all had absolutely nothing to do with that, but thank you anyway for not throwing rotten fruit at me so far. So, now I was telling Brother Josh, he made a joke that I'm not so sure was a joke this morning about Rebecca writing a sermon. And as I was thinking about that, you know, I have my notes with me, and I thought, you know, I can't ask my wife to write my sermons. Two reasons. One, she would tell everything bad about me. And number two, I've preached here enough to where you all, I think, kind of understand my style. And if I come in with one of her sermons, you're going to know it's a fake. Okay? Hers is going to be so much better than mine. But anyway, so I appreciate everyone gathering tonight. Is everyone ready to go? Okay, so we're going to cover some doctrine first. Okay? And the reason why we're going to cover doctrine first is because the biblical doctrine of the church is people are very confused about it today. People don't know what a church is. They think it's a building. They think it's something mystical, something spiritual in the most contemporary sense possible. Just to let you know, it's none of those things. And so let's talk about what a church is first. And this will go by pretty quickly. But number one, it's important to note that the church was built by the Lord Jesus Christ. The church was built by the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to do some turning here at the beginning, and then we'll slow down just a little bit later on. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Again, familiar verses tonight. But I think sometimes we think we know a doctrine. We think we know the points of a doctrine, but maybe we don't always know the verse as to why we believe what we believe. And the answer should never be, I believe what I believe because someone said it from the pulpit. We ought to believe that on our own. And we ought to know these verses. So that's why we're going to go through it tonight. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Here's what it says. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you consider any group, any organization or movement, it's always important to discuss the founder. Amen. What did the founder believe? What was the founder's intention? What was the purpose of this whatever it is, group, organization, movement, whatever it may be? We see in this verse that it was not Peter, it wasn't any other person that founded the church. It was Christ himself. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 2. And we see that backed up in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 20, where it says this, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone was the thing that a building rested on. Without a cornerstone, your building did what? It fell. It collapsed. It was ruined. The church today still stands 2,000 years later. If the church was built on Peter, it's not in such a great shape. Refer to the Catholics on that one. We believe that it was built on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why, after we are all gone, the church will still be here. It has been, and it will be. Since the church was built by Christ, that means that there is no one who has the power to add to it or to destroy it. And we've seen that throughout history, have we not? We've seen multiple movements. We've seen persecutions. We've seen people who have tried to quash the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're still here. We're still here. The church was founded, it was built on, and it is continued by Christ himself today. The same one who created everything that we see created the church. So it was built by Christ. Number two, like I said, we're going through these kind of quickly. So number two, the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. We've heard a lot of preaching about that this year, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would please. That's actually part of our theme verses for this year. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 14, it says this, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." The church is the only institution on earth that has the privilege and responsibility of being named the body of Christ. Because the church is the body of Christ, it is to be treated separately from any organization, any group, or any business on earth. We can see today that there are many churches who are the pastor or the deacon board or whoever's run it, they're trying to run it like a business. This is not a business. This is not something where you can post your core values and hope it all works out. That's not what this is. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as members are added, the point is not so that everyone can get what they want. It's not what a church is supposed to be. When I was baptized into Calvary Baptist Church, I became part of Calvary Baptist Church. What that means is I have to give some things. And we're going to talk about that later on. The body of Christ is important. The church is more than a building. It is a body that was founded and paid for by Christ. We hope this never happens, but if something were to happen to our building burned down or a tornado hit it or whatever, Calvary Baptist Church wouldn't end. We don't end with the building. Because we, as the members that make it up, we are the church. Are we not? I know, this is super easy, but we're going to keep going here. So number three, regarding this idea of the church, we already read it, but 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that's where we started. The church is to be a beacon of truth. The church is to be a beacon of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, in case you forgot, down towards the end, it says, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the what? Truth. The truth. It is the pillar. What is done here should be truth. Should be truth. It's ironic, isn't it, that everyone on earth craves truth, but no one wants to go where it is supposed to be provided. The church is the one place that is designated to be kept pure from the world and the evil that attempts to destroy the truths of the Word of God. Now listen, our homes should be like this too. Did you hear me? Are we all still friends? I feel like I lost you there for a second. The home should be like this too. The decisions that I make in my home should be that of truth as well. So that when I gather here, I'm not convoluting the church. Because as a member, if I decide in my home that I'm going to allow worldly things and I come to the church, that's bleeding over into the church. It's not my responsibility to change the culture of Calvary Baptist Church. It's my part to be a part of the body. This is an institution that was made into a body, and as such, we should reject anything that is not truth as a church. just as the physical body rejects viruses and illnesses that attack it. The church is to stand unashamed. Hey, there you go. The church is to stand unashamed. Didn't realize I did that. And we should stand unapologetic for the truths founded in the Word of God. If truth cannot be found here, where can it be found? And that's where we're at today, is it not? Churches today try to be ran like a business. They try to increase the foot traffic, increase the revenue, open their coffee shops and their bakeries, and do what you want with that. But it's not about that. It's not about that. It's not about how many people came to services today. The question is, was God glorified in our services today? Did we stand for truth today? Did we do everything possible to put ourselves aside and put Him up? That should be our goal. It is a beacon of truth. A couple more here. Number four, the church is to be a barrier for the saved. The church is to be a barrier for the saved. Ephesians chapter 2, head over there with me. We were just there a second ago. I should have told you to stay put, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 2, a couple verses here. Verses 20 to 22. We'll read this again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The church is to be a haven or a barrier against the things that may drag us down. The cares of life, the dangers of the culture, the influences of the world around us, they have no place here. I know that that sounds harsh. I know that that sounds very direct. But we have to take that approach. We have to say, this is a safe place. This is a spiritual safe place. Because if we don't have this place, again, I ask you, what do we have? What do we have? When we come here, it should be a time of edification. It should be a time of examination, and it should be a time of enforcement of the truths that are contained in the Word of God. As we gather here, there should be a shunning of all things that we fight and struggle with all week long. Gathering with the body of Christ should be a place of rest for our souls. That's what our church should be. And I'm not saying we're not these things. Okay? I think in a large part we are. But listen, this is a barrier is only as strong as its weakest link. A barrier is only as strong as its weakest member. Let's make sure that we're not that weak member. Let's make sure that we're contributing to being a barrier. All of the things that the world partakes in, they have no place here. That's why we're careful with our music. That's why we're careful with our teaching. That's why we should be careful with our fellowship. Because this is supposed to be safety. This is supposed to be a barrier. And if I decide that I'm going to kick the wall in from the inside, that puts all of us at risk. It makes life much more difficult for the person sitting across the pew from you tonight. And as a body, we have a responsibility to each other. I need to be strong spiritually for a lot of reasons. But on that list is so that I can help my fellow church members. Because if I as a church member catch wind that someone is not right doctrinally, I have an obligation to do something. Don't ignore it. Don't let it go. Deal with it. And again, I know that some of this sounds harsh. And I'm sure, I don't know how many people are watching on live stream. Maybe there's someone watching who says Brother Mason's lost it. Brother Mason is being way too harsh tonight. I don't think we're being harsh enough. Because when I look at the culture, when I look at what churches are, quote unquote churches, it's because they have decided to say yes here and yes there. And yes, here. And oh, not a big deal. We'll just ignore that. Calvary Baptist Church is what it is because we have leadership who's willing to say, no, we're not doing this. We're not going there. We're not going to have that music. This person won't be a teacher because they're not ready. Because this place is a barrier. This place is to be safety. And lastly, number five. Lastly of the pre-message, I guess, is what this would be. And people start leaving. No, I'm kidding. Number five. The church is to be a bulwark for the sinner. How you like that word? A bulwark for the sinner. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 and verse number 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We're familiar with this, are we not? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Okay, question. Question. Where are these things supposed to transpire? Now listen, we have an individual responsibility, do we not? We need to go out and we need to tell people. But I don't have the authority of Calvary Baptist Church to baptize anyone. They have to come where? To the church. They have to come here. And it is here that they are grounded in truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Because when they come here and they're baptized and they begin to grow, as many of us did at one time, they get baptized and they grow and they become strong in the faith. That is how it's supposed to go. And then verse number 20 is ongoing, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That takes a long time. I was an institute for like 30 years, it felt like. But it was because, it's because there's a lot to know. There's a lot of things you have to be settled on. And why? And why? That's part of why we did some of these verses, like I told you to begin with. The answer isn't, we don't do that because pastor doesn't want us to. Sometimes that's enough. But most of the time, there's a verse for it. There's a reason why. Not just because we don't feel like doing something. So, back to this. The church is to be a bulwark of the saved. When someone who is unsaved comes here, there should be a distinct difference of what they see and hear. Got a few amens. There should be a distinct difference. The church shouldn't sound like your break room at work. Shouldn't have a place there. It shouldn't sound like your worldly family's reunion. Should be different. This is a place that should demonstrate the holiness and the compassion of the God we serve. If this is accomplished, the church becomes a bulwark or a fortification against all of the things in their lives that may have brought them here. You know, some people, they come to church because they need something. They come to church because they're craving truth. They come to church because they need something different. That's something I've heard from people who have visited Calvary Baptist Church. When people come here, they should hear songs that uplift their spirit. They should hear teaching and preaching that is unlike the vanity and emptiness of modern airbags that call themselves preachers. Yes, I said airbags. They should hear fellowship that is unlike the bitterness and jealousy of their coworkers. They should see a love for others unlike the drama that fills the lives of their family and friends. Should be different. And all of us contribute to that. All of us have a part in all these things. You know, as the music guy, song leader, or whatever, appreciate Brother Jimmy doing that tonight, by the way. I do my best to pitch songs that the Lord wants us to sing. I pray about it. I have an ongoing list of choir specials and all of that. I don't pick the songs because I think that this song would be fun to sing. I try not to do that. Sometimes it happens, and it's fun when that happens. It is. There are songs that I like more than others. I'm just going to be honest with you. But every one of them should be uplifting. Every one of them have a purpose. Every one of them have something doctrinal. We don't sing frivolous choruses here. We don't sing songs that that may be peppy, but you're singing the same words 87 times and the song just never ends. We don't do that here. Because we're different. We're supposed to be different. Now, if we do our part, okay, if we do our part, the body of Christ no longer becomes foolishness to the unsaved. It becomes a fortification. There are a lot of people out in the world today who think that church is foolish. They don't know why we're here tonight. What do you mean you have Sunday night service? We have Sunday night service. I don't know what else to tell you. At 6 o'clock, I'm going to be here. Or 4:30 for choir practice. I'm going to be here. It's going to happen. I'm going to be here at 10 o'clock for Sunday school. I'm going to be here 7 o'clock Wednesday night. It's going to happen. And people see that as foolish. But when the church does the correct thing the correct way, the lost, the unsaved people who need something from the Lord, who need someone to show them compassion, when they enter these doors, it becomes a place of safety for them. Because this is a place where it's unscathed by the world as much as possible. We're all sinners still. But as much as possible, we're doing our best to act right, to look right, to not say foolish things. We're doing our best here. And people see that. So, in a nutshell, okay, there's a lot more things that we can do, but I want to keep pressing on here. Here's the question that kept coming back to me. And here's where we're going to park for a little bit longer. How can I best prepare myself for church? Because if I am doing my part and I am considering why I'm here, okay? If I think every time I come in Calvary Baptist Church, okay, why am I here? What am I doing here? Am I here because I've fallen into the routine and the habit of being here and sitting in the same pew and going upstairs, going downstairs, doing whatever it is you do? Am I there for that? Or am I here for something else? These things take preparation. So, turn with me to Psalm 51, if you would, please. Psalm 51. We're going to pick and choose a few verses from here. How can I prepare myself for church? Number one is found in verse number 3. Psalm 51, verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. How can I prepare myself for church? First off, you need to acknowledge sin. Acknowledge sin. As God reveals sin to you, acknowledge it quickly. Having an attitude of procrastination and denial of sin means that you are limiting the working of God in your life. We say things like, it's not a big deal. People have done worse. Okay? Those are the things that come to our mind. We may not say them out loud, but that's sometimes what we're thinking. We have to acknowledge our sin. God will show you the things He desires for you to fix. He'll point it out to you. It's not my job to show you. And I'm glad I don't have that job. Because I have plenty of things in my own life I have to fix before I can tell you what to do. As you grow in Christ, the Spirit of God within you will become increasingly more sensitive. Remember Matthew 28, verse number 20. Teaching them to observe all things. As people grow, and as they learn about Christ, and as they learn about the principles and the doctrines found in the Word of God, things are pointed out to them that they need to fix. And it's good to get into a habit early of acknowledging your sin. Acknowledging your sin. Number two, these will go pretty quick, is found in verse number 4. Here's what David says, the psalmist here. He says, against thee, Thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Number two, we have to admit guilt. We have to admit guilt. When you acknowledge your sin, admit your wrongdoings. It's not enough to just acknowledge. I've met people, I'm sure you have too, maybe you're door knocking, maybe as a coworker, you're trying to give them the gospel, and you're trying to tell them what changed your life. And maybe they agree with you. Maybe they say, yeah, you know, I'm not perfect. You know, but who is? Anybody got that response? I'm not perfect, but who is? And they try to play it off. Like, it's not a big deal. There are plenty of people who will acknowledge but not admit. And by admit, I don't just mean you jokingly play it off. I mean, you're serious about confessing. We'll get there in just a second. When you acknowledge your sin, admit your wrongdoings. This will keep you from saying ignorant things like it wasn't a big deal or it was just a mistake. When we try to use excuses rather than admit guilt, we set ourselves up to be someone who can never get better for Christ. We have to admit. When you commit a sin, when something is pointed out to you, acknowledge it, admit it, and number three, ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Before we read the verses, I want to ask you a question. Think back with me to the time in which you professed to be saved. Okay? The day, the night, whatever the circumstances were. Think back to that with me. Think back to the time in which you cried out for salvation. Was that a casual thing to you? Was that something that you thought, I just need a plan B. Just gonna play it safe, just in case. Put Jesus on the back burner. Was that any of your responses? It was not mine. It was not mine. And sometimes when we tell people that they have to ask for forgiveness, they think about it like a casual encounter. Like you bumped into someone at the grocery store. Oh, hey, sorry about that. That's how people approach God today. When I say ask for forgiveness, I don't mean a casual encounter. I don't mean something that you're just covering all your bases. Here's what I mean in verse number 7 of Psalm 51. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. As David has acknowledged his sin, he's admitted his guilt, he now comes to the asking for forgiveness that is necessary to complete our walk with Christ. If you say you're walking with Christ and you're never admitting, you're never acknowledging, you're never asking for forgiveness, I question how good your walk is. I feel like all the time I'm saying something or I'm doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing. And I know I'm not supposed to say that thing. I know I'm not supposed to think that. But I do it anyway. And because we sin so much, the asking becomes a ritual. The asking becomes something that we do. Now, as we meet together as a church, we will only be as strong collectively as we are individually. If we have church members who are not taking their individual walk with God seriously, they will not take church seriously either. We must each be doing our part to be as close to God as possible. As He points out things in our lives, we must do our part to not be the one in church who is holding everyone back. Make no mistake, there's no member here flying under the radar. There's no one here that does not impact our services. We must do our part. And it starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with all of us considering. So let's look at some other things here. Number four, we need to attend sacrificially. We need to attend sacrificially. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let's head over there. Again, just so we can see the verses and know what we're talking about here. Everyone still with me?
Amen.
Okay. All right, I'll trust you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I'm sure we've all read it at one time or another. Let's back up to verse 24. Excuse me, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's kind of what we do. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, it takes sacrifice to gather here. It does. It takes sacrifice. Many of us are involved in other things than just warming a pew. They all take sacrifice. It takes sacrifice to clean. It takes sacrifice to teach a class. It takes sacrifice to do just about anything around here. And what we are asked to sacrifice is the thing that is the most precious to us. And that's our time. It's our time. But more than these things, there's a greater element of sacrifice that goes ignored. While it takes sacrifice of time and physical energy to keep up the building and the ministries that we have, there's an even greater sacrifice that is required spiritually. We are to sacrifice our time, our finances, and our talents for God and in the service of His Word. Say amen.
Amen.
These are clearly spelled out and clearly well known. But what about sacrificing more deeply? What about my goals and my plans? What about my emotions? In a church setting, these things play a part. And here's why. Because if I, as a church member, if my only goal is to PCS to another base, I've checked out of what I'm doing here. I'm looking to greener pastures, looking to better things. My goals and my plans on a personal level affect my membership at Calvary Baptist Church. If I'm just trying to climb the corporate ladder and I'm willing to sacrifice everything to do it, church is normally the first thing to go. Let's talk about emotions for a second. I know that in Calvary Baptist Church, no one has ever been offended. No one's ever been hurt. No one's ever had things said about them. Why are you laughing? What are we laughing about? I've never had any of those things happen. No. We've all had those things happen. And when it does, not if, when it does, we have to sacrifice our emotions. Because we all have different tendencies based on our personality. Right? Some of us will confront someone. Okay? And that's biblical to a certain extent. Confront somebody. Better check your emotions, though. You better be ready to handle what they throw at you next. Because if you have someone who's either not saved or who is backslidden and they just don't care. They'll say something about you and not give a second thought. If you go to confront that person, better have your emotions in check. Because you're going to go right down with them. It's sad, but it's true. And the reason why is because the church is a bunch of people that are saved, hopefully, but who are still sinners. We all still have tendencies of the worst behavior. We all still have the possibility of saying bad things about other people and slandering them and gossiping and all those things. Don't we? Don't leave me up here all alone, okay? We all have that tendency. It's possible. When I commit to being a part of the Lord's body, I am committing more than just my checkbook. I'm committing myself. Attend sacrificially. When I attend sacrificially, I cannot blame anyone else when church gets boring. There is no one else to blame. It's on you. When I attend sacrificially, the song service becomes more exciting. Clearly, it's because of the song leader. Okay, let's be honest. Clearly, that's why. I mean, Brother Jimmy, no. No, but the song service gets more exciting. Maybe the choir members would smile more. Called you out. How you like that? When I attend sacrificially, the preaching is more applicable to my life. Pastor gets a lot better, a lot faster. That's not what happens, is it? What actually happens when those things take place, it means that I'm taking ownership of my membership. When I attend sacrificially, the members around me, you all, suddenly become less annoying. We all do things that annoy each other, don't we? Come on, we're all family here. We do things that annoy each other. Oh, Brother Mason picked that song again. He needs to get it together. And I agree, he does need to get it together. But attending sacrificially takes away a lot of these problems. We must realize that we have a responsibility to take ownership. We have a responsibility that when we come here, we're not just warming a pew. Every one of us impacts the services, for good or not. The institution of the Lord's church was not just for our benefit, but it was also for our worship and our service. It requires sacrifice. Number five. This one and one more, and then we'll wrap this up. When we come to church, how do I prepare myself for church? I need to apply the Word of God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, if you would please. I love reading these accounts of the early church because it's so polar opposite of almost everything we see today. People selling their land and donating it to the poor in the church. Stuff like that. It's just unheard of today. It is just unheard of to give, to have a level of sacrifice like that. I'm not saying go out and sell your houses. Okay? Don't do that. Okay? We can't all live in the basement downstairs. Okay? That's not happening. I'm sure that Pastor would love to have all of us move in with him, but we're not gonna do that to him. But they gave so sacrificially. They gave everything. Not just their land and their money, but they were there for each other. They took care of the widows, and they took care of the new Christians, and even as the persecution was bearing down, they didn't give up, they got stronger. That's right. I love reading that. I love seeing what they did. But Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. Acts 2:41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." Let's stop there. Gladly received. To me, I don't know, I don't think that this is a stretch to say. Gladly received, I think we could also say that they applied. They took what they heard, they used it to become closer to Christ. Or for their case, to get saved. They said, I'm lost. I don't know what I'm doing. I thought I was religious. I thought that I was checking all the boxes in my spiritual life. But as Peter and the other guys were out there preaching, they took what they heard. They compared it with what was written in the Old Testament, which Peter and the other men preached from the Old Testament. In case you didn't know, the New Testament didn't exist, okay, in Acts chapter 2. And so as they were preaching from the Old Testament, they could see clearly the path that led them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they were confronted with that, as we all have been if you profess to be saved, they said, "I need to do something with this. I cannot let this go unnoticed. I cannot walk away from the preaching of Paul and of the other of Peter at this time and all the other people who stood up and who proclaimed with authority the word of God." They couldn't ignore it. They had to make a decision. And thankfully, we see that there were many as we see in verse number 41. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's pretty good. That's a lot of application happening. We must apply the word. A church that impacts their local community and literally turns it upside down. What was at the root of this? Of this great movement we see entirely through the book of Acts, is a willingness to apply. Is a willingness to take the word of God and to dig a little deeper. To ask questions. And be willing to accept the answers. People were quick to accept and apply what was being said because it was presented to them in a manner that the religious scholars of the day didn't do. The religious scholars of the day would stand up and pontificate about how great they were. That's not what they did. That's not what the apostles did. They stood up and they preached the word of God. And people can see that difference. The early church preachers were direct, they were firm, and they were unapologetic. Whether their lives were in danger or not, they were willing to give the people around them the chance to have the same knowledge that they had to gain for themselves. We must be quick to apply the Word of God that is presented to us. If the Word of God is being preached, we have a responsibility to be sensitive to God and to the Holy Spirit. As Brother Josh said this morning, regardless of the preacher or the things that we may or may not like, I have a responsibility to apply. I have a responsibility to do something with what is taught and what is preached. It goes beyond critiquing the presentation. Lastly, number six. In a church, in preparation for church, we must ask for God's help. We cannot accomplish what we need to accomplish here without His help. Now listen, we have some talented people in our church. We have some talented singers and talented musicians. And we have some people with great spiritual gifts in Calvary Baptist Church. Even still, we cannot do this on our own. Every service, we must prepare. We must ask for God's help. Turn with me to John 15:16, please. I think it's this verse and one more. John 15:16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Don't you think that church might fall under that category? We're doing this for him, or we say we are. Jesus speaking here desires that we ask God for help in his name. Now the context here is of love, okay? It's of love. Both of the love that God has for us and the love that we should have for others. That's the context. But like I said, could not the application be made of the church as well? If I'm going to do all this work in my personal life, like we talked about out of Psalm 51, if I'm going to do all that work, if I'm going to be sacrificial, and I'm going to apply what I hear, do you not think that we should ask for help? Do you not think that we need, quite literally, divine intervention in our services? Before we even come to church, we need to be asking for God's help with the services we're going to. And listen, I know it's hard. It's hard to set aside that time. I don't know about you all, but Wednesday nights are probably the worst. Right? You're rushing here, rushing there, trying to get to church on time. But we need his help. We need his help. A couple of things that we should pray for. A couple of things really quickly. First off is safety, both physical and spiritual. We need safety here. We need our church to be safe from the culture, from the dangers of the world, from our own flesh. We need safety. We ought to always pray for our pastor and our pastor's wife. The devil would love nothing more than to take out those two. We need to pray for our leadership. We need to pray for your teachers. Pray for the lost. How about we start there? How about we start there? How about we start preparing, start praying for the most, I don't want to say vulnerable, but I guess in a sense it is, the most vulnerable things about our service. Because you understand that Calvary Baptist Church would survive, but if something were to happen and we lost our leadership here, that would be hard. That'd be hard. Calvary Baptist Church would go on because it's the Lord's church. But stuff like that happens all the time. Churches all across the world happens probably every day. I don't know. We must pray. We must ask for God's help. For our leadership, for our teachers, all those people. But we also need to pray for us. Lord, help me to be a good impact on the services today. Lord, help me to say something encouraging to someone. Lord, help me not to be a stumbling block to a new Christian today. Help me not to say something foolish. We need his help. So, by way of application, we'll wrap this up. Back to the title. Okay, everyone still with me? Okay, back to the title. Have you taken time to consider what we do here? Some practical things I've tried to bring out to help us have a proper perspective of what we do at church. But all of this means nothing if you're not serious about serving God. If you're not serious about serving God, the last hour and 15 minutes have not done anything for you. You understand that, right? The last hour and 15 minutes has done nothing for you spiritually. And I can't read hearts, I can't read minds, and I'm very glad about that. But maybe someone has spent the last hour and 15 minutes thinking about tomorrow. Thinking about something that they wish that they could get to right now. Maybe wishing that Brother Mason would shut up so we can get out of here. I don't know. These things are not for people who are not serious. People don't prepare for things they're not serious about. Last week, I had to go to a management course for work, and let me tell you, that was just riveting. It was not. It was terrible. But at the end of it, we had to give a presentation about something that we learned, which is difficult if you haven't learned anything. But anyway, so we... I kid you not. But I thought, you know what? I spent 40 hours of my week here, so I'm going to dig into something. I'm going to dig into something. And I did my best to give that presentation. There were other people who did not prepare. You know how I know they didn't prepare? Because they said, yeah, I got nothing. Two of them said that. So now they get to take the class over. Not too smart. If you didn't learn anything, just don't tell your teacher. You know, I just helped out every teenager and young person in here. No, be honest. But you can tell when someone has prepared and when someone hasn't. You can tell the difference between when a teacher or preacher has prepared and when they haven't. We can tell, can't we? We can tell those things. Don't you think it's important that we as church members prepare? Don't you think that maybe the other church members around you, and maybe pastor when he's preaching, he can tell who wants to be here? And most importantly of all, your Savior can tell if you want to be here. He knows. We have to be serious about this. And I know in the culture that we live in, I'm running very much upstream. I am swimming upstream here. But that's what we have to do. Because I don't like the flow of the current. I do not like the direction I see churches going in. And, you know, I went to Bible college. I got an invite to go to a reunion. Apparently, I graduated 10 years ago, so that's a great feeling. But I'm looking at who is on the invite list, and there's a lot of people missing. A lot of people missing. A lot of people that they seem strong. They seem like they cared. They were involved in the bus ministry. They were involved in whatever. We all had different ministries we had to do. A lot of people missing. And at the end of the day, what it comes down to is, are you serious or not? That's it. There's no other questions to be asked or answered. Because if you are serious about serving God, if you are serious about being a member, if you're serious about having a walk with Christ, we have to prepare and we have to consider. We have to consider. Now, maybe there's someone here, okay, maybe, or someone on live stream. Maybe there's someone here who would admit, you know, I'm not really serious about serving God right now. And what I want to say to that person is a couple things. First off, I appreciate your honesty. A lot of fake people out there. So I appreciate your honesty. But I've given some thought, okay, and that can be dangerous sometimes, but I've given some thought, and there's really only two reasons I can think of why someone wouldn't be serious about serving God. Okay, two reasons. First off, you're not saved. If you're not saved, everything I've just talked about makes no sense to you. You've thought to yourself, why on earth would someone commit to giving this much of themselves? Why would someone pray? Why would someone try to help out other people? I'm not here for the people. I'm here for me. Yeah. That's a normal response for someone who is not saved. And secondly, maybe you're not serious about serving God because you might be saved, but you've forgotten what it means to be saved. You've forgotten what it means. You cannot look at the Word of God. You cannot look at what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you in a true lens and be lukewarm about it. You cannot look at what the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed for you and walk away from that unscathed unless if there's something wrong. So, if I just described you, okay, and you're not serious about serving God, or maybe you are serious about serving God and you need to deal with that tonight. As our custom is, here in just a minute, we'll have a time of invitation. Okay? And all that we do is, here in just a moment, I'll ask for everyone to stand up, heads bowed, eyes closed. Give everyone privacy, respect one another. Piano's going to play. And we're going to open up the altar. And if the Lord has spoken to you about something, I would encourage you to deal with that tonight. If you're not saved, please come talk to me. Or come talk to someone. Talk to someone who knows what it means to be serious about God. Because what often happens, and I'll stop after this. What often happens is someone who is not serious about serving God, often talks to someone else who is also not serious about serving God, spiritual questions. Because they know that if they talk to someone who actually knows the answers, they're going to get raked over the coals. They want someone to affirm their apathy. Right? Don't let that be you. If you need to deal with something tonight, you need to come deal with it. If you're not saved, then I'm not the Holy Spirit, but you need to be the first person down here. If you don't know what that means, you don't know what it means to be saved. You've maybe never heard the gospel. You need to come down. You need to come down. Now, last statement. For us who are saved and serious about serving God, do not forget to consider what's done here. Don't forget what we do at Calvary Baptist Church. Don't let this go by. These services that we have, okay, with one another, this is only for a time. It's only for a time. People come and go all the time from here. And I've heard of people who have left here and who have said, man, we really miss Calvary Baptist Church. Because we get used to it. We get used to this. But also, life isn't that long, is it? It's not. I looked up the other day and my daughter's 10 months old. Who swapped out my kid with another kid? Equally as adorable, but still, I want mine back. Now she's squealing during choir practice, and she's trying to stand up, and she's trying to do all these things. It goes by fast. And you all warned me that this day would come. Okay? Everyone in here said, oh, but the basis is going to go by so fast. And I was like, yeah, I know. And here we are. Life comes at you fast. But life is short. Life goes by quick. Even if you're granted a full life, whatever that means, 80 years, 90 years, I don't know. It's not a long time. It's not a long time. It's just short enough of an amount of time to which we need to appreciate what we have. We need to consider. We need to prepare. Do everything possible to be involved and to show the work of God in you by any means possible. Amen? Take time to consider. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed.